This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
From the bristles of brushes to the porous surfaces of sponges, your makeup kit can harbour a host of bacteria and fungi, and you may not be cleaning it as often as you should. So how often should you be washing your personal brushes and sponges? Enzo Palumbo is a professor of microbiology at Swinburne University of Technology. Enzo, welcome back to Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
Now, how do the germs and the fungi get onto our brushes and things in the first place?
Well, easily from our skin. That's probably the most likely because our skin is not sterile. It contains a variety of different bacteria, fungi, other little parasites and things. And as we apply makeup with those implements, it's possible, likely, very likely that things get transferred back to those brushes and sponges and so on.
So what are the risks in terms of health problems that they can cause?
Probably minor. You might get some skin irritation, might lead to pimples and things like that. But, you know, it's been shown that you can get things like conjunctivitis potentially spreading from the eyes from one person to the other person. There are certain little things called mites that live on our eyelashes, can also be spread from person to person. So it's probably a low risk thing, but the risk is always there.
So the bacteria, etc., they live on the utensils that we use, or do they also occupy the cosmetics themselves?
Exactly.
Oh, they
exactly
do
both. All the above. Yeah, I mean, cosmetics do have preservatives. The manufacturers do add things that do inhibit the growth of things, but just because they're stopping the growth doesn't mean they're still not able to transfer from one to the other. So as you apply makeup with the brush from your skin, putting it back onto the cosmetic, you are transferring microbes back to that product.
It's like a little Petri dish that we're brushing on our face.
A little bit, yeah. Again, they don't probably grow on the surface or in the materials, but they still can survive.
Okay. So what should we do then if this is happening? What should we do to ensure or reduce the risk of transmitting it to our skin? How can we do it?
Well, like anything that we use domestically or in commercial situations, hygiene is number one. So making sure perhaps when you start applying makeup, your hands are clean. That's the first thing I would do, wash your hands, like anything around the home with food preparation and so on. And just be vigilant about what you're doing, what you're touching. Certainly sharing things between people is not recommended, either in a household or in a commercial premises if you're going to get your makeup done professionally and so on. But also just general hygiene, soap and water, good hygiene on the brushes and so on will keep them safe for a long time.
And so here's a question that just came to mind. Let's say someone has on their skin one of those resistant bacterias, is resistant to antibiotics. They brush makeup on it, et cetera, et cetera. Then they say, hey, try my eyeliner or something like that and put it on you. Could you transfer potentially a resistant microorganism to someone else?
Of course. And just because they are resistant to antibiotics doesn't make them more powerful, if that makes sense. It's just harder to treat if you do end up with an infection. So vigilance is always important.
Is it worth using, say, antibacterial solutions or something like that, like we do with our hands, hand sanitizer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, things like, your hand sanitizer we all got used to more and so during COVID times.
Yep.
Anything which contains, say, ethanol in the mix, any of the common disinfectants you would use around the home. All those things, certainly would be appropriate.
And so if we're talking about buying cosmetics, we might go into one of those discount chains. Is there more risk with the cheaper ones?
It's probably anecdotal, although there has been some published work that does show that the cheaper cosmetics probably do harbour higher levels of bacteria. Now, whether they're dangerous ones or not is not the issue, but certainly they might not have the same quality of materials that are used to make the cosmetics, and particularly preservatives.
And so we're talking about makeup and cosmetics here, but does the same thing apply to, say, a body sponge that you have in the shower, for example?
Yes, and I mean, like other things, we should think of even sponges in the kitchen. How often do we change those?
They get a smell.
And the smell is often an indicator that things are well past a use-by date or an appropriate time to throw them out. But, yeah, certainly not letting them get stay wet. When things dry, they're less likely to harbour microbes that grow. So, yeah, washing them, rinsing them, drying them out, all those sort of things that you would normally take in normal hygiene practices should be applied in those situations too.
Fantastic, Enzo. Great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Warren. My pleasure.
Enzo Palombo, Professor of Microbiology at Swinburne University. There you go. Don't share your makeup brushes.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.